People think that black swan thinking requires constant paranoia. That is not true. It requires finding out which black swans can really hurt you and which domains are black swan prone. If I randomly gather 1,000 people from the world population and put them on a scale, so you have 1,000 people, you put them on a scale and you add to that sample the heaviest person on the planet, that person will represent a few basis points from the total, what, 0.3%? So you can have exceptions in some domains, but these exceptions are not consequential. However, socioeconomic life is very different. If you have the very same sample of 1,000 people, put them, instead of putting them on a scale, you add up their net worth and add to that sample the wealthiest person on the planet. How much of the total will that person represent? Not 30 basis points. Okay. He'll be worth 50 billion and the remaining 1,000 would be worth 1 to 2 million. All right? So you realize that there are some domains in which the exception matters a lot. Unfortunately, socioeconomic life has been much more dominated by exceptions. We have to identify where the vulnerabilities are. We live in a world today that's extremely different than the world we inherited from our parents. Today we have 3 times the debt level, means you cannot make a mistake. 3 times the debt level that we had in 1980, approximately, depending on how you count. You can no longer make mistakes. We have interdependence today, a lot of interdependence. It comes from the internet. Rumors become planetary. This bankrupted this Iceland in no time. Normally, when runs on a bank take place, you know, people take a tube and go wait in line. All right, now you do it during dinner. So you can have rumor planetary. So we're much more vulnerable to extreme deviations today than we did in the past because of the tools we have in our hands. We can no longer make the same mistakes. And other things have been happening. Globalization. Globalization makes companies very efficient, but makes them more fragile. So you have operating leverage that's very similar to debt leverage, I mean financial leverage. Okay? Makes companies very vulnerable. So economic life is more and more black swan prone, in other words, prone to huge changes coming from a single event, an exception, than it ever did before. At no time in history have you had such small like imbalances in food supply cause, you know, that spike, these spikes. I mean, wheat prices tripled, and it's not like everybody decided to eat a lot more pasta, right? Wheat prices tripled in response to a little more pickup in demand, and we had supply, but supply couldn't catch up. Small imbalance. That never happened in history. So we live in a world that's much more fragile than the past. What is the solution? The solution is very easy. Very, very easy. Look at Mother Nature. Mother Nature does not like leverage. Mother Nature does not like too big to fail. Simple solution. If we went and I'm sure it's not very politically correct, they decided to shoot the largest animal, right? The largest mammal, a whale. Okay, it would be bad. Would it destroy mother? Would it destroy nature? No. But if we went and shot a firm, say, Lehman Brothers, right? You know what can happen. So, you can have interdependence. Not a big deal. But you cannot have too big to fail. You want to make sure that something happens that the consequences are manageable, right? The second thing, Mother Nature doesn't like debt. The opposite of debt is redundance. I have two lungs. I know in the UK, everybody has two lungs almost, no? Right? So I have two lungs, one spare kidney. I have a lot of things. It's the opposite of debt, spare parts. So if we let, you know, economists manage Mother Nature, they'd give one lung to everyone, and then you borrow, you know, your time for breathing, right? It'd be optimal. Why have to carry a lung? Okay. So I mean, this is so we have a so Mother Nature does not like the Ricardo concept. Okay. If one country specializes in wine, another country specializes in cloth or some other item, right? Because all these concepts that we've inherited from classical economics don't make sense when you stochasticize, in other words, inject some randomness. Well, now, what if the price of wine changes? What if people decide not to drink wine anymore? What do you have shifts? Well, it's not a good idea to specialize in wine. So Mother Nature does something that's opposite to specialization. We call it functional redundancy or degeneracy. It's doing things that, having function, doing things that are not efficient, are not optimal, but they help evolution. Like, for example, lips, right? They're used for a lot of purpose, okay? Mother Nature, you use your lips to eat, to talk, to taste, a lot of things, all right? So so it's the opposite of over-specialization. So Mother Nature can show us how to build a robust system, a system that can withstand huge deviations and stay standing. These people are still there, okay? We should do something symbolic to say, okay, the economic establishment failed us. Let's get new economists. Someone who did not fail us, no effort on his part, took that old staff. So it looks like it's a reward to those who did the wrong thing, and more power to the regulators who got us here, more power to the World Bank and the IMF, all right, who missed on the crisis, okay, and not even making an effort to reward those who saw this, warned against it, no effort on their part. So here we have, I think they're going to fail, okay? And after they fail, they're going to have a lot of finger pointing and so on, but we don't need to wait for more failure, right? So today, we have more debt than before, some transformation of private debt into government debt, and now we have to look for someone to buy the debt. There's a big joke in the trading circle that during the crash of 1929, there's a gentleman who told his clerk, sell everything. And his clerk kept looking at him. And he told him, I told you to sell everything. And the clerk looked at him and said, yes, but to whom, sir? At some point, government wanting to borrow, need to borrow from someone, all right? It's from whom? From the future, from future children? You can't even do it anymore. Inflation will take care of it. I mean, this is hyperinflation take care of it. So we have a severe problem today. The world is not robust to a crash. In 2000, the world, you know, of Silicon Valley was very robust. I'm not against finance. I'm against some parts of finance, right? Like, for example, I'm not against derivatives. I'm against complex derivatives. I'm not against a vanilla option. It's very the nuances. As they say, the devil is in the nuances, or the truth resides in the nuances, okay? That's Oakeshott and also Renan, all right? My two heroes, all right? The nuances, is we have to know, it's not say, investment banking is good, right? For example, hedge funds. 1,800 hedge funds closed over the last period. Can anyone here in the room name a closed hedge fund? Everybody's focusing on Lehman Brothers. So there is a way to build an ecology, right, in which people can fail aggressively and start again and fail and start again without bringing down the whole system, without being financed by regular Joes like Citibank, right? Without having bonuses, all right, financed like, Bob Rubin, $120 million. And then he said, oh, it was unexpected, okay? he kept his $120 million, and we taxpayers, and you can't claw him back, okay? So the hedge funds are solutions. So the nuances, okay? I'm not against derivatives. I'm against some derivatives, yeah. And there's a list, all right? There's some derivatives that are very stabilizing. So we could issue that. You could issue, equity. You can, and actually, that's how growth happened. This level of debt we have today is new. Complex derivatives are new. 13 years ago, I kept talking about my metaphor of someone who sells out-of-money options. So you make money for, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Okay, you're making pennies. Okay. And then one day you lose dollars and then say, okay, thank you very much, I'm sorry, right? Thank you, apology letter, right? Dear investor, surely these events are as much of a surprise to you as they are to us, okay? And you close shop, right? And that was a model, and meanwhile you have your yacht, okay? And you don't care. All right, so there was a mismatch. If you use the metrics of modern finance, you would be fooled after a year or two, sharp ratios, beta, meta, alpha, shmalpha, all that stuff. You'd be fooled into believing that that person is actually doing the right thing. So there was a mismatch between compensation period, namely 1 year, mm-hmm. and time to reveal the statistical properties, in this case, 9 years or 8 years. And effectively, in the black swan, I was attacked. Initially, because I said that banks never make money. They look very intelligent most of the time, and in 1982, banks lost more, money center banks in America lost more than they ever made in the history of banking. And they said, well, exceptional events. They did it again in 1991, okay? 1991, we had, and then of course, recently, so I don't need to convince you more with that. Meanwhile, bankers are rich, right? So, but it's very easy to identify domains in which people play that game. It's so easy. It's so easy, it's not even funny. You can figure out if this guy deserves his bonus or not. It's so easy. If I'm giving a loan, all right, that is can be hit only by negative black swans, you see, I don't deserve an annual bonus. If I am in venture capital, where you lose, and once in a while make a lot of money, I deserve the bonus. If you are in long volatility, if you have if your business model, right, is R&D, you're gonna lose. Once in a while you discover a cure for bad breath or something that makes you a fortune, right? Then your statistical properties, all right, are not masking hidden risk. So you should not pay a bonus to someone who has hidden risk. It's very simple. So it's not complicated. The thing is very simple.